Prologue. Ley, Papua New Guinea, July 1st, 1937. Here she lay, in a tumble-down hotel on the edge of a jungle at the far end of the world. The knocks came soft and timid. "Who is it?" she called, her voice husky with the sleep she so desperately craved. "Miss Earhart?" a man asked tentatively. Married to publishing magnate George Putnam for the last 6 years, she resigned herself to the fact that she would forever be known as Amelia Earhart, America's flying darling. "Yes?" From her tone, she was clearly irked. "Bert Hoover sent you a telegram and said I need to see you. I'm Mike Dillman." It took her a few seconds to place the names. She'd received dozens of telegrams upon her arrival from Australia, mostly from George. But there were others as well, fans wishing her well. The cable the stranger just mentioned had taken her by surprise. "Give me a moment," Amelia said, and slid out of bed. She grabbed up her robe, a thin, diaphanous garment that weighed but a few ounces and was one of her few feminine conceits during the circumnavigation. She slipped it over her shoulders and looked to see her reflection in a small mirror by the silvery moonlight filtering through the hotel room's only window. She didn't think she looked much like America's flying darling just then, but there was little she could do about it. She opened the teak door, a relic salvaged off an old steamer with slats on the bottom that allowed tropical air to circulate throughout her room. Just enough light from the downstairs lounge reached the hallway for Amelia to see that Mike Dillman looked like he'd just crawled from the grave. His hair was lank and plastered to his sunken-cheeked skull. His eyes were nestled deeply in dark, bruised sockets, and while he was probably past 50, his skin sagged like that of a man twice that age. She couldn't fathom a circumstance where this man and Bert Hoover traveled in the same circles. And yet Bert had vouched for this cadaverous stranger and had asked that she perform a favor for them both. She would have ignored the request had it come from a less important person. And seeing Dillman firsthand, she still might. "We don't have much time, Miss Earhart," Dillman said, and coughed. He tried to suppress the rattling rail in his chest by hacking into the sleeve of his tattered shirt. When he moved it from his mouth, blood stained the cloth, and a little clung to his lip. She was instantly concerned. "Are you all right?" "Not really," the shell of a man replied with a tired, resigned smile. "But it doesn't matter. Can you please get dressed and take me to your plane?" Uncertain, a little frightened, and yet intrigued, she nodded. "I'll just be a minute." She left Dillman in the hallway while she threw on a clean pair of riding breeches and pulled her flying boots up along her calves. The boots were custom-made, a gift from George, much like the entire heady existence she called her life. It was no secret that he used her fame as an aviatrix to sell newspapers, and she used the money he gave her for these wild expeditions to feed her addiction to flying. For surely that was what infected her so terribly, and yet so fulfillingly. Wasn't that the definition of addiction? The unbreakable desire to do something you know is wrong, or dangerous, or immoral. That was how she felt about being in the cockpit. She should be home raising a family, and not halfway around the globe from her husband attempting to be the first person, not just woman, but the first person to circumnavigate the Earth near the equator. She had been the second person to solo the Atlantic, but the record books would tout her being the first woman, as if gender had anything to do with the ability to fly an airplane. Well, this time she'd have both titles, and would make damn sure the headlines didn't commodify her sex. She shrugged into a shirt over a bra that hadn't yet dried from its earlier washing. It felt like clammy hands were cupping her barely there breasts. Dillman was leaning against the wall, asleep on his feet, and startled.